All right, we are live. It is the Omid broadcast, a very special emergency broadcast. We had a very traumatic incident happen yesterday, and I didn't even know about it, Anna, until later on in the evening. You had texted me today and asked if you wanted to do a very special broadcast. I said,
because sure. Richard Simmons is dead.
That's right. I actually have it pulled up here. Richard Simmons, a fitness guru who makes laughs and sweat, dies at 76. This is very sad, and we wanted to be here. This is the thing about, you know, radio and podcasting, is you can be there live for people when it matters most. When tragedy strikes, when an icon like Richard Simmons, when we lose him, we want to be there for the people. So very sad news, Anna. I don't know your experience with Richard Simmons. I believe he was gay. I heard that. I don't know if that's true, but he was an icon in the fitness community, certainly. Frankly, not a great bod. Richard Simmons never really had a great body.
Well, you know, he was like almost 300 pounds, right?
I did not know that.
Yes. So he did not have a great body. I believe he's originally from New Orleans, so he's big into the fried foods. Yes. Is it possible that we can do a little deep dive into Richard Simmons? Is he black-ish?
I believe he's, I don't think so. I think what you're seeing here, and perhaps you're thinking of the hair, because
is he one of my people?
I believe he may be. I believe he might have what is referred to in some sections of the world as a Jew fro. My guess. Now, I'm not positive about that. I guess I could look it up because I have the technology here.
I'm looking up Milton is actually his first name.
Okay.
So I'm going to make a guess and say he's one of the tribe, if I were to venture a guess here.
I'll just do it. Is Richard Simmons Jewish? I'll put that in Google. A Russian Jewish mother and a Methodist father who named him Milton, who would appear in the times of Israel. So, one of your people lost today. Very sad. Very sad indeed. No, we're kidding. Of course, we're not talking about...
Well, that did happen.
That did happen, but that's not the real tragedy here. It's that we lost another icon. Shannon Doherty passed away today. Very sad. And you tweeted me and asked me if I wanted to do a special broadcast with the passing of the icon Sharon Doherty, of course, from 90210 fame. And I was like, well, I don't know. I mean, do people really care? And you were like, yes, people are very upset about this. So I said, all right, well, this is the great thing again about radio and podcasting, is you can be there for people when it matters the most, when they lose people that they love. And Shannon Doherty passed away from cancer today. Another Jew, I believe, right?
I don't get those vibes at all.
Okay, let's see. Raised in her mother's Southern Baptist faith. Okay, pretty much cannot get any more opposite,
right,
than Richardson.
Irish and maybe an Elizabeth Warren amount of Native American.
Yes, yeah, she does.
Yes.
So
she gives me like what's that? Bjork. She gives me Bjork vibes.
Yeah.
A little bit. Couldn't be more Nordic-ish looking. And no, that's not why we're here.
I know, I know.
Exactly.
It's because Dr. Ruth, I believe a Jew, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe her father or her escaped Nazi Germany and fled to Switzerland, something like that.
Yes.
I believe she was 4'7". Could you look up her height?
Yeah, she was very tiny. I can.
There it is.
It doesn't give me the...
Yes, it does. Right there.
Times of Israel. World famous Jewish sex therapist. Height, 4'7".
Right, yep.
4'7".
Little lady.
Little lady gave a lot to the world. Allowed women to open up, literally, in many cases, regarding their sex lives. And had some very controversial takes over the years. So we lost Dr. Ruth, and Anna texted me and said, I would like to do a podcast about the loss of Dr. Ruth. This is big news. And I said, okay, you know, I don't know much about Dr. Ruth, but I know that she meant a lot to you. And the, again, the great thing about radio and podcasting is we can be there when things happen. And this was such big news that Anna wanted to do a podcast. So Dr. Ruth, she will be missed. It's very sad. Very sad. No. Okay. I guess this is okay. We've run. I was going to do Shelley Duvall, but
yeah, no. That was a few days ago.
Yeah, Shelley Duvall already. Of course, Donald Trump almost got killed yesterday. A lot of people have said, yeah, well, obviously this is going to happen. Donnie T almost bit the big one. It was shot at from a roof in Butler, Pennsylvania yesterday. Good to know that you can get a shot at the president still. I kind of thought those days were done, that you wouldn't have the opportunity.
Of course you can.
Well, maybe some, I would say. Perhaps some presidents and former presidents you could take a shot at, potentially. You know, I don't know what happened, really. I know that it was the shooter was named, where is he? I just had it pulled
Thomas
up.
Thomas Matthew Crooks. 20 Thomas. Years old from, like, what is it, Bethel Hill, Pennsylvania, which I think was about 40 miles south of where the shooting took place in Butler, Pennsylvania.
There he is, yeah.
Looks inbred. Looks exactly like you would expect a school shooter to look like.
Mm-hmm.
You read up on the shooter. Are you familiar with his history or anything like that? Because it's a little bit bizarre.
I'm not really.
Okay.
So yeah, I found out because I didn't know. I was bird stewarding yesterday.
You were what?
Bird stewarding. So I was keeping people on Egmont Key. Just off the coast of Fort DeSoto, there's a small island called Egmont Key. My lady volunteers for this sanctuary, or friends of Tampa Birds or something. Like, I have the hat on right now. Let me get it out there. Become a member. Friends of the Tampa Bay Wildlife Refugees. Refuges. And she does that. So I went with her and helped keep, because like half the island is a bird sanctuary where people aren't allowed on the beach because there's a lot of birds that live there. So we parked near the edge in a golf cart. And if anybody got on the beach, we drove over there and said, hey, get off, get in the water. So that's what I spent my day doing yesterday. So I had no idea really that this had taken place until my buddy Zach texted me and goes, oh my God. And I just went, what? And he goes, you haven't heard? And I said, no, I have not heard anything. And then I looked it up, and sure enough, it happened. And I was kind of surprised I didn't hear from you, because I had to text you and be like, oh my God, they tried to get him.
I feel like you're a pretty news savvy person, and I feel like you probably get news updates all the time. So I figured you already knew.
Yeah, no.
Listen, I love being the person to break news to people, but I just assumed that you already knew. That you were on the Twitter feed, or that you got some, I don't know, NPR, CNN, Fox News update that said, hey, BTW, president got shot. Who got shot?
Well, they didn't say he got shot. They said that there was an incident that happened. Well, there was some noises.
According to some sources, some said there was initially what I got was something that said that there was a possible shots were heard at the rally, and then during the live feed, it said he was shot, and you could see, you know, the blood on his ear.
Should we show? I guess we could show the actual video of what happened. This was crazy. If you somehow did not see it, if you're living under a rock, here's the video from what happened last night at Donald Trump's rally in Butler, Pennsylvania.
Take a look at what happened.
So he must have got hit right there. Like the first shot got him, because he grabbed his ear right away. And some people were saying, I saw that NPR Anna said that there was blood on his face, but they were unclear of whose blood that was, and that there was an incident that had happened at the rally. Also, the New York Times reported that and I guess this is true, technically factual, maybe, but not truthful, that there was a goer, somebody who went and to the event was killed.
He was a 50-year-old former chief of the fire department, unfortunately, and he died protecting his family. So
crazy.
Yeah, it was a pretty wild scene. Not exactly what you would just expect in the middle of the day. You know, the boyfriend was asleep on the couch and I see this and, you know, I'm kind of investigating it because I didn't want to just wake up him up frantically and be like, oh, you know, there's been a shooting, but actually there wasn't. It was a balloon that popped or whatever. But then when I saw blood on the face, I was like, wake up! Who got shot? Who got shot? And he's like, what? And I'm like, Trump was shot. He's shot. So, you know, then the news went on and stayed on for about the next 5 hours. But, and I can I swear freely on this podcast?
Oh, yeah, sure.
What a gangster ass motherfucker. That's what I want to say about that. And as soon as I saw that, what went down, how he reacted to it, how, you know, concerned he was about his shoes, I was like, this guy just, I think he just won the election, possibly. I mean, if he lives. But when I saw him worry about the shoes, the first thought was, I think he just secured the female in black vote. I think he was just, you know, he was just like, got to worry about my kicks. Girls know what's up, you know, shoes are expensive. And the way that he was just such a, like a pimp about it and told Secret Service to stop, hold on, I have a message. And then that's when he, you know, said fight, 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 or at least mouthed it.
Yeah.
And that was an incredible moment, like not just in this time, but I think in history with that iconic photo of him doing like what seems to be black power with a bloodied ear and the American flag flying over her head. I was just like, that's the winner of that's the photo of the century. That is incredible.
It really is. The mugshot was, you know, an iconic imagery from just what, 6 months ago, and now already he's got another one that's top that. I mean, gosh, you're talking. It appears, anyways. I don't know for sure, but it appears that he was hit. Actually, let's just play the whole thing. It's a minute. Sure. It's a very chaotic scene. I'm sure everybody has seen it by now, but just in case you have not, obviously, audio only people, you're not going to be able to hear this. I will put this podcast up. Yeah, full up front to everybody here. I'll put it on Substack as well, but in hmbradio.substack.com. Go there for full uncensored content that we do on Wednesdays. But here's the clip. Yeah, I guess he just got on stage too, right, Anna? This was like right at the beginning.
It was between 5 and 10 minutes of him on stage is when the shots rang out.
Take a look at what happened.
Move to the spare. Hold. When you're ready, on you.
Ready.
Move.
Up.
Move.
Go. Hawkeye's here.
Hawkeye's here. Move to the spare.
You ready?
Shooters
down. Are
we good?
Shooters down. Are we good to move?
We're clear.
We're clear.
Let's go.
We're
clear.
We're clear. We're clear.
Wow, Anna, that's the first time that I saw that. I didn't see him talking about his shoes. Let me get my shoes.
Oh, yeah. No, he says it like three times.
Hold on. Let me get my shoes. Okay.
I think we need to talk about what is an ancillary issue to the attempted Trump assassination. I saw someone write on Twitter as a joke. It was actually the guy who does Part of the Problem with Dave Smith. It was Ronnie Bernstein. What's his name?
Yeah, Robbie Bernstein.
Yeah. he's like, and this was just the first one I saw. I'm sure there were others, but he said, no wonder why Trump got hit. He's being protected by a woman. And there was a joke, and there's a picture of the woman in the front with the bun and Trump. Now, obviously, he was making a joke, but upon further review, are you still there, Will? Will may have excommunicated himself from the live broadcast, folks. I regret to inform. Can you just reappear, or how does this work? Do we need to start over? I don't know where you are. Will!
I'm back. My StreamYard crashed. Very sorry about that.
No, that's fine. I was just like, do we need to start over? Do I need to reboot, reset?
No.
So I don't know how much of that you heard, but just the conversation surrounding women in protective roles, especially when you're protecting the Yes. The woman who couldn't put the gun back in the holster and who looked very frazzled and confused, that's not a good look. That's not a good look at all. And listen, maybe I'm the sexist one. People have called me a misogynistic pig in the past, so perhaps that revelation is seeping through. But if I'm being fully honest, I don't want to be protected by a woman if I've got the choice.
Yeah.
I'd prefer not.
There they are. You can see, right? The two ladies can't get her gun in the holster.
Yeah, that's a bad look. The man in the front there pointing looks calm and collected, stern. The other guys are, you know, they're moving quick because you got to. But it looks like they're able to, I don't know. It's not a good look.
No,
it's not. And it's easy to, like, paint a picture when you don't have all the details. I'm like, maybe it was her first day on the job. but maybe you shouldn't be putting people signing, you know, brand new Secret Service on the job to protect the probably president elect as we're coming down to November election season. It's probably not a good time to just get someone on the force. But again, maybe this is deeper. Maybe this is like revealing in the sense that maybe when you hit a crisis, when you're in a crisis, your quote true nature comes out, right? This kind of happens in jujitsu sometimes, where when something happens and you're not expecting it, how do you respond under stress, attack, panic? How do you respond? And maybe it's being frazzled and frantic and thinking, you know, that being a Secret Service is more of just like a guard dog sort of view, but not necessarily something where you have to spring into action, because sometimes shit like that really happens. And maybe it was revealed that she really wasn't the person for the job. Do I want to extend this to all women? No, but also if given the choice as a woman, I really don't want to be protected by one. Is that fair to say?
I mean, I think so, but I'm also male. And as we determined on the last podcast that's out today, if you missed it, I don't think women should drink whiskeys. You know, obviously I might be more biased than even you as a lady. But I don't know. I mean, it's a bad look. This is under, they're a government organization. Obviously, I believe under the Department of Homeland Security, which is under Mayorkas, I believe, who has let it, you know, let millions of people cross that border there, and who somehow was not impeached for that. The government's incompetent. We have a competence crisis, and much like any other field, air travel or whatever, government is also very incompetent too, and it's subject to mandatory diversity initiatives. So it's not a meritocracy where the best person are getting the jobs. They are filling it by race, gender, you know, sexuality. Really important things in life. So this is Kimberly Cheadle, who is the director of the Secret Service. And it's just, it's not, you know, it's not elite. Again, you know, you got to be careful because you don't want to, I'm sure there are some women cut out. Maybe. I don't, you know what? No, There's no woman that's cut out to be a Secret Service agent.
Unless you got a bitch that's like 6'5" and just jacked up. If you got just a man with a vagina, maybe. But and especially if you can look back at that video, you don't have to pull it up. But the woman with the bun who is supposed to be covering the president, who is 6'2". There's very few women that are 6'2", even in heels, very few. And she's covering the front of the president. Again, I don't know if they knew exactly where the threat was coming from. I did hear the Secret Service in that clip say, like, the shooter's down. But even still, she's right in front of him, and he's able to, like, peek his face out. You can see it's exposed. Then her walking the president down the steps, there's probably about 4 or 5 steps, and he puts his arm around her. He puts his right arm around her for support, and she seems to be struggling because he's kind of a fat man.
He's a very fat man.
He's a big boy. He's at least 6'2". He's probably in the ballpark of
280.
250. Yeah, I was going to say 260, something like that. That's not a light man, and you're supposed to be protecting his life. What are you doing? If you want to have some, like, some ladies around the perimeter, you know what I mean? As like a first, second line of defense, it should not be the primary line of defense circulating the president. I don't think that that is a good move for anyone, for her, for the president. It's just like you said, it's a competency issue. A lot of people are calling this out as, look what happens when you have DEI hires. When you're trying to get, I think the quota was like 30% of the people in the Secret Service need to be women. Why? You know? And again, like, you can be part of the Secret Service much like you can be part of the armed forces as a woman, but do you have to be front lines? Like, do you have to have a combat role? I think the answer is no. Unless you're a giant bitch. Unless you're China from WWE and you are just jacked up on all the steroids and you're tall and you're big and strong like a man, like, no. No.
Yeah. I just go, you know, I can't be, obviously this is a common, you know, thought, but I can't be in the NBA because I'm not good enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not in shape. I'm not good at basketball. So I can't be in the NBA.
You have no redeeming qualities.
Lady, you can't be in the Secret Service. I'm sorry. No, no, you're not good enough. You're not good enough. I don't care. Like, look at her. She's not good enough. She shouldn't be there.
Honestly, much like I wouldn't, I know this, I'm sure there's a lot of short kings listening, but, you know, do you want Dizzy protecting you? When you're,
I don't know. I heard he's quite the
I feel like
his ass. So maybe I do.
It's not even just a gender issue. It's a size issue. It's a strength issue. It's a, I don't want to say a competency issue, but again, it seems like most men, when not most, if we're taking in the average man and the average woman, when shit is about to hit the fan, I feel like most of the time, men are a bit more cool, calm, and collected under those conditions. You know what I mean? It's not a good look for her. I think it's mostly a size and strength issue. What are we doing? Why do we have a small, she probably wasn't even that small for a woman, but compared to all the guys, she's completely exposing the president, who's 6'2", and like you said, probably around 280 pounds. He's kind of fat.
Yeah.
And he's hanging on her for support. If you watch the video again, his right arm is completely hanging on her shoulder for support.
Yeah. Let's go back to that. Share this tab instead. And I believe this is the one you're talking about here with the ponytail.
Yeah, he's probably on her tippy toes. He's 6'2". She's a woman. There's all these other dudes there. And then passing
for stabilization.
Now she's trying to get him down the stairs. She's trying to. He's, look, his arm's draped over her, holding her for support. Yeah. I just don't. And then this bitch at the back. Oh my God. No. Can't find the Holster Jones. It's just not a good look. A lot of people are discussing this online about women's role in any sort of protective combative services. I don't know. Listen, I'm cool with stuff that doesn't rely on the ability for you to do your job. There are people's lives at risk. If you cannot do your job properly, it is a risk and a threat to everybody around you.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I have an issue with it. You know, this isn't like Mike, much like you said, comparing it to sports. It's like, I'm sorry, you're just not fast and tall enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's putting not only, you know, his life at risk, but it's putting, they're not good enough to be there. So they're going to have problems. I mean, they could die a lot easier if they don't have the mindset for it. They don't have the physical attributes for it. It's truly putting them at risk too. And all of us, really, by not having a meritocracy, we are putting literally, it's DIE is what people are calling it now that I've heard, because it's really, they're very intricate systems that are in the works here that people aren't suitable to operate these systems. And it's scary. It's scary. And we're seeing it, you know, all the time. The rot's there. It doesn't seem like it's going anywhere anytime soon. I can't believe that I don't, maybe he doesn't have an option. I don't, cause he's not, you know, in the Oval Office, but I can't believe he said, no, I'm not sorry. I'm sure you're a nice person, but I want this jacked dude to be protecting me, not tiny ladies.
Yeah. I mean, I guess maybe things will change now from here on out. You know, obviously security was heightened, gets more heightened the closer you get to the election. But it's like, yes, a lot of people weren't surprised by this, but also it's a shock when it comes. You're just like, holy shit. You know, this assassinations, and I heard someone on Megyn Kelly talking about this yesterday, but assassinations really changed the course of history, obviously. You know what I mean? And at that point, I don't know if they knew. They said that they knew the shooter was down. I wasn't 100% know if they did. But like, even if Trump tripped, you know what I mean? It opens up a can of worms that is just unnecessary when you just put people who are a bit more competent, and competent not in the necessary means of like, oh, they have more experience or they're smarter or anything like that. Just in terms of size and strength, which is what you need, because it's like, why is there a small woman shielding her body around Trump, who's 6'2" and 280? It's just, it doesn't make any sense. And it's a bad look for our country and for Trump. So I have a feeling that they're going to make a lot of changes in the next few days regarding his security. So I don't know if he's going to pump it up with more private security, but we'll see what happens.
Maybe. I think that's might. What do you, I mean, like, listen, this story came out today. This is, you know, this is Zero Hedge, so take it however you want. But it looks like there was almost every Secret Service protocol seems to have been ignored, allowing the shooter to have easy access to the shooting position and plenty of time to acquire a bead on Trump's podium. The rooftop used by the shooter was a mere 140 yards away from the event with a clear line of sight. I mean, that just seems like obviously you would locate potential spots like that and make sure that those are not able to get to, I would say, at the very least, plot those things out earlier. Those familiar with precision shooting know that any shot within 300 yards is considered easy for a moderately trained rifleman with the right caliber. An expert can also hit a torso-sized target consistently at 1,000 yards or more. At 140 yards, any amateur should be able to hit a pie plate-sized target with little difficulty, even without a magnified optic. The Secret Service is supposed to secure all obvious sniper perches well before the arrival of the protectee, meaning nearby rooftops and buildings are supposed to have a security presence in place, along with drone surveillance. In the case of Butler, Pennsylvania, this was apparently not done. Secret Service snipers were only present on the building right behind the venue stage. The lack of security presence at the building across the field made it possible for the would-be assassin to brazenly jaunt to the location and climb the rooftop with his rifle in broad daylight.
Wait, can I interrupt you for a second? Uh-huh. I think President Biden is currently giving remarks right now. Do you want to?
Yeah, let me see if I can find it.
Type that in.
Let me see if I can find it. You think it's on YouTube?
I get CBS News updates. It says President Biden delivers remarks after condemning the attempted assassination.
Yeah, I did see some traffic on Twitter saying that he spoke for 2 minutes, didn't take any questions. And
maybe it's over already.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. I thought it was more of like a press conference sort of thing, but I should have known better.
Yeah.
Continue with the details surrounding the shooting.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like the idea of the shooter being able to get that close with an elevated position on the stage is unthinkable. Another fail was the lack of sight obstructions put in place near the stage. The Secret Service was supposed to erect barriers in a line of sight for potential shooting locations. Again, this was not done. Finally, there's a lack of response time. Witnesses outside the event said they saw Thomas, the shooter there, climbing the rooftop with his rifle at least 3 minutes before he started shooting. They tried to warn police and Secret Service agents to no avail. So automatically, I mean, just me being me, I don't know how you feel, but my spider sense starts tingling and goes, maybe this was on purpose. Where they let it happen. Maybe there was, not trying to get kicked offline, but maybe there was, and there was obviously with the Governor Whitmer kidnapping, there was evidence of the FBI, goading some of these members of this militia that were going to kidnap this woman and supposedly murder her. That they were FBI assets, let's just say, and they were acquitted because of that. So they were goaded into it by, or at least strongly nudged in that direction by federal agents. They've done this with many Muslims shortly after 9/11 as well, where the FBI goaded them into purchasing weapons to commit terror attacks, and then they busted them. And look, the FBI broke up another terrorist attack shortly after 9/11.
Yeah. Wow. False flag terrorism or terrorist attacks or whatever you want to call them, they've happened before in history. I'm sure you're familiar with Operation Northwoods, the program or objective that was presented to President JFK, where they would commit some sort of atrocity against Americans, kill American lives, blame it on Cuba, and then that would give them enough reason to go after Cuba. Mm-hmm. He shot it down, no pun intended. He said, no, absolutely not. But those sorts of things happen. And they've happened before in the past, and they will probably happen in the future. Do I think that that is what happened yesterday? I don't think so. But I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea. I hope not, but nothing is past the realm of possibilities. You know, we have to kind of consider everything. A lot of people said the same thing, and a lot of people do say the same thing about the October 7th attacks, suggesting that Netanyahu kind of turned a blind eye and allowed this to happen so that he could go after and fully destroy Hamas and never have to do a peace deal with them or give up any more land to the Palestinians. A lot of people have said that that's a possibility, and I think that it's important to investigate it because it's certainly in the realm of possibilities. So I think this really is no different, and we'll just kind of have to see as more information unfolds. But wow, what an event to really shake the nation to its core. And I don't know about you. I really want to just drape myself in red, white, and blue. I'm feeling obscenely patriotic since this happened, and kind of like when I saw this, I went, I think you just may have won the election. This may have just secured it because you just go, you know what? Fuck that. Absolutely not. We're putting this guy back in. And at least that's how I felt. And I feel like that's maybe how a lot of people felt. I saw people on Twitter, such as Elon Musk, saying that they fully endorse Trump now, whereas before it was kind of implied, but he never made like an overt statement saying, I support this guy. A lot of people are coming out of the woodwork, white, black, female. But again, I also have to remind myself that the people that I was looking up on Twitter, you know, it might be a bit of an echo chamber. So
yeah,
But I think that this, nothing could have been better for his campaign than for him to get grazed by a bullet, be covered in blood, stand up like a gangster and say, fight, 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 before him being whisked off. And then 2 minutes later, like, there was a statement that he said, he's like, I'm fine. I'm fine. Don't even worry. I got this. We got this. I mean, if that doesn't scream leadership, I don't know what does, you know? So,
yeah, I mean, I can't help but to notice no riots today, nothing, no Trump people storming anything or anything like that. I did see quite a few on the corner of Almerton Road and 66th Street here in Pinellas County. Many of them boomers, with flags, flying the flags on the side of the road.
The USA flag?
USA flags, yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure. There's lots of flags.
So. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. But the American flag.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Nice.
So, you know, nothing too crazy happening. A lot of people, I think, are like my buddy that I talked to, not a political person at all, but he was like, dude, this, I might vote for the first time. This is too much. This is right. Too crazy. So I think you're going to get a lot of people in that group who are just like you said, fuck this, or this is just getting out of hand. Yeah. I don't know if it's going to get any better if he's, you know, reelected to some sort of office and somehow gets over all of those barriers, which I believe that there's probably more barriers to come. But I don't know if it's the atmosphere is going to get any better. The things that needs to be done would really need to, you have to be really brave to do the things that need to be done in order to get back the country to some sort of, you know, balance again. I mean,
are you suggesting that Trump has the qualities, the brave qualities that we need? Is that what you're saying?
I don't think so. I did. Is he a Julius Caesar figure? I mean, I think he's obviously very popular in some sections of the country, but I don't see him as a, you know, a Caesar type of character. I mean, the things, you know, when denazification started in Germany, one of the first things to do was boarding up every government building, and like, it was gone now. Somebody would need, he would need the manpower too of the military to board up the CIA, to board up the FBI, every department. You completely need to clean house. Now, obviously, media would shriek dictator, fascist, and rile up the plebs. And then you're just into a whole other territory at that point. But I don't, you know, I don't have much faith that he would be able to do the things that would really need to be done, which is just shut down the bureaucracy totally. Totally. It's just so many years, you know, you're going on 100 years or more of bureaucracy that have just ate away at.
That's the only pathway to improvement?
I think so. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think the rot is, that's step one. And then, you know, rebuilding the Republic. I mean, at that point, going back to a Republic.
I mean, but then you just form a new bureaucracy. It's not people are just uniquely evil. They're just people who are greedy and want power, and that's every person who ever was. So it's like you tear that down only to rebuild what? I mean, I'm not saying that the American system is perfect, but I think it's kind of as good as it gets in a lot of ways with the, quote, balance of power. We've kind of entered a new age because there's a lot of kind of shadowy figures in behind the curtains that we don't really know, and it's hard to call out, and they're just kind of like, one of them who is a bit less shadowy now is like a George Soros type figure who's just funding all these types of, you know, DEI caravan, BLM sorts of things that are doing the work for him. All he's kind of doing is buying up Odyssey and trying to swing and change the narrative in his favor for, you know, whatever sort of ideological reasons and purposes he has. I don't think there's a way you can ever fully clean house of what. There's no perfect system. Everything is flawed. People are flawed.
So what's the answer?
Well, I think the answer is not necessarily a solution. It's just an improvement. You know, you can't change the ship to turn around 180 degrees, you kind of have to move it 2 or 3 degrees in a better direction. So it avoids the whatever potential icebergs, you know. So the Titanic could have been saved, not if they just turned around, but if they just would have, like, you know, shifted a little bit more, they could have avoided destruction.
Yeah,
and I think that that's kind of like a
boat. I get the analogy, but a boat, you know, approaching an iceberg and, you know, the most powerful empire ever on the planet are two different things. I don't think you can.
It's an analogy to say, like, this is a giant pitfall, and if we kind of just make a few degrees turn to the right or to the left, or, and I'm using that metaphorically, possibly you can prevent some giant disasters from happening. That doesn't mean things are going to be perfect. That doesn't mean that you're going to solve poverty or the immigration problem or the economy, but can you improve it more than it better, in a better direction than you are today? I think that that should be the goal. I think a complete override of our political system and the way we conduct business might not be the answer. I don't know.
But it's not. That's not supposed to be here. We're not supposed to have a bureaucracy. That's not what America was founded on. It's not. It's for the people, by the people. You know?
I understand, but you inevitably form a bureaucracy when you put people in charge who represent you. It's not a democracy. It's a constitutional republic. That's a different thing. We were never democracy. You know, it's never majority rule. And there was a reason for that. Otherwise, like, for the last, 50, 60 years, you would have Democrats ruling everything.
Yeah, tyranny.
So, I mean, we were never a democracy. People always say, threat to democracy. We were never that. We are a representative constitutional republic, and we've always been. And so I don't know what the answer is. I don't think anybody does, but I don't think it's you complete anarchy and tear everything down only to rebuild it. I never want to give any one person that much power to deconstruct and rebuild, because I don't think that that's a good idea to give, you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely. They say that. Yeah. That's a common trope that people say, and I don't think that it's untrue. So I think, like, how do we shift this? In my opinion, I would like to see Trump back in office, and not just because of this incident, this attempted assassination, let's call it what it is, that happened yesterday. I just think more than anything that a weak America entices especially our adversaries to act poorly and create a more dangerous global community. When America is strong, it makes everybody act right. You know what I mean? It's like having a strong father figure. You know, I mean, if daddy is going to whoop your ass, guess what? You're probably going to be well behaved. That's kind of how I feel about Trump in office.
Yeah, I still believe that the country now, as it stands, needs a complete wipeout of bureaucracy in order to kind of get back to some sort of normal. And I think the key would be to not. Well, and I've heard the argument that it just happens naturally. It's the evolution of you know, governments.
Hierarchy, yeah.
They just end up in a bureaucracy. But it's worth a shot, man. I think that's what would need to be done, boarding up all the federal bureaucracy offices that are around the. It's a big job, man. I mean, it is a huge, huge job. And, you know, a lot of those people are administrators. They're not. They've been hired, like, they're president last 4 years or 8 years, maybe. But I mean, some of these people that work in government at these offices who have a lot of power, administrative power, are there for 50 years. You know, I mean,
that is a problem. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. That's why I think it's worth a shot to at least have to do these things. Now, it would be no easy task, just because, I mean, the squealing that would come from media would just be even more dramatic than it is now. And I did see, I thought you were going to bring this up, but I saw Dave Smith actually tweet out, like, it's so bizarre seeing leaders, you know, in the other party wishing, you know, literally Hitler and a threat to democracy a speedy recovery, while the rhetoric was ramped up so much that this guy was an existential threat, could not be allowed to get back in office. Well, what does that mean? I mean, when you bring it out to its final form, I mean, if you can't beat him electorally, well, we cannot let this guy in. well, what do you think that means? You get to a point where obviously he's got to go. And that means, you know, the old fashioned JFK way. You can assassinate somebody's character now. You don't have to kill anymore. You can do it in the media. But Trump, for whatever reason, has managed to bypass that. He's got his whole crew and half the country who is just like, no, fuck you. You're wrong. And they just won't listen to the programming that's getting fed to them in the news. The people in the know, they're the news. Why would they lie? Of course, people know that they do lie, and they lie often with impunity, either because they're ignorant or for malfeasance reasons. Joe Biden, it was a conspiracy theory if he was mentally competent 3 weeks ago. And now the New York Times is going, yeah, he hasn't held a cabinet meeting in 6 months, and he's a neurologist, went to the White House. Like, they're just fully admitting it now. So are they bad at their jobs, or are they just lying on purpose because they didn't want to give any sort of ammunition to this existential threat to democracy? So, I mean, it's everybody knows the game. And even people who are anti this guy, they know the game, I think, right? I mean, like, people who are like against him know that the news is full of shit, right?
I don't know. I don't know how deeply they believe this lie or this characterization of Trump to their core. You know, I don't know. I like, and you say this all the time, like, I can't pretend to assume I know what's in people's minds and hearts. Maybe they don't like the guy for whatever reason. Maybe they've bought into the, you know, the pussy statement circa 2016, whatever the case may be. They have maybe a personal grievance with him. I don't know. He be their guy or gal, and they just don't want to see him succeed. And a lot of this is like second, third, fourth hand information where it's like Trump is an asshole. And then it gets transferred into he's a racist and he's Hitler and he's going to kill, you know. And you believe the hype, I suppose. So I don't know how deeply they believe all those things. I was going to mention that I heard again this on Megyn Kelly. They were discussing the rhetoric, much like you mentioned, of Biden himself and the Democrats generally speaking about, like you said, we cannot let this existential threat to democracy retain the throne of the presidency. And Megyn Kelly was really calling on, especially Joe Biden, for saying, I guess there was some quote recently where he said, like, Trump is the bullseye and all this sort of stuff. And it was enticing people to, okay, well, if we can't beat him in the polls or beat him at the ballot box, like, I guess we're going to just have to take the next logical step, which is try to assassinate him, right? I have a big problem with like blaming people for that sort of stuff. Like, if he says Trump is the bullseye, I mean, you could say that in a corporate fashion, meaning like, all right, this is our target, this is our bullseye. You know, I don't think that that's like a, I don't know. I feel like we shouldn't be blaming people for that, that people should take accountability for their own actions. But also, you can't be remiss to not mention it either, because that's the sort of rhetoric that's surrounding this political candidate. And I don't think that a lot of people aren't smart enough to kind of figure it out for themselves and could be saying, okay, well, I need to be a martyr then and try to take this guy out for the security and future of our country.
I mean, here's exactly what we're talking about right here. People very high up saying that this cannot be allowed to happen and wondering what does that mean?
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country. Maybe there will be.
People need to start taking to the streets. This is a dictator.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there is unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, we kill.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
Biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right up to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. I said, even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face.
I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
Look, as his character is stabbed to death.
Where is John Wilkes Booth when you need him?
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
A Missouri state senator is under investigation by the Secret Service after saying she hopes President Trump is assassinated.
I will go and take Trump out tonight.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
And sadly, the domestic enemies to our voting system and our honoring our Constitution are right at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not.
If you think we're rallying now, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Certainly some fiery speech there. Obviously, we know about the, you brought up the bullseye thing where there was like a weird, was it Sarah Palin or somebody had a bullseye on somebody and they took that as literally calling for the assassination of somebody that didn't happen.
It was Sarah Palin, yeah. But yeah. The bullseye thing was something that Biden said, I think, last week in a meeting, saying like Trump is the bullseye.
Yeah. I mean, I understand that because I'm not a moron and I like to try to be as fair as I can, that doesn't mean necessarily assassination. But boy, after today or yesterday, I should say, now you go, I don't know. Maybe it was.
It's easy to kind of, you know, reverse engineer it and be like, oh, that's what it meant. I don't think that's what it is, personally. I don't think that a lot of these people should be. Some of the things where Maxine Waters was like, you know, punch him in the face or really taking to violence on the street, you know, I can't support that. But if people are speaking in metaphors, like, I don't know, I don't think they should be held responsible. But that's
just me. Have some grace. But you know, we're not in a gracious times out here. Here is Joe Biden.
We must be honest with each other and with ourselves. Too much of what's happening in our country today is not normal. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. Now, I want to be very clear up front. Not every Republican, not even the majority of Republicans are MAGA Republicans. Not every Republican embraces their extreme ideology. I know, because I've been able to work with these mainstream Republicans. But there's no question that the Republican Party today is dominated, driven, and intimidated by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans. And that is a threat to this country. You must be honest with me.
That must have been a few years ago, because, yeah, he even looks way worse now than he did in September of 22. So.
Yeah, that was September of 2022. So. This type of rhetoric has been going on a long time. I don't see how if you get somebody with a, you know, slightly below IQ that says that this man is a, you know, existential threat to democracy, he's literally Hitler. What, I mean, why wouldn't you kill him? That's the obvious next step there.
Yeah. It's interesting for a presidential candidate to go after not just his opponent, that makes sense. But when you start going after the opponent's fan base, which you kind of need in your pocket, I mean, you're not going to win them over, but you don't want to ostracize them. What did Hillary say? The despicable, what was it? Deplorables? That just seems to be politics 101, is you never go after the followers of your opponent. you know, because guess that's only going to embolden them. You know, you might say they've been duped by this charismatic evil man, whatever, but you don't want to make it seem like they are the enemy. They are demonic. If for strategy's sake, just for the sake of our country, we don't need to be more divided than we already are. And for someone to take that in and go, wow, my neighbor's a deplorable or my neighbor's a piece of shit because I saw them waving an American and Trump flag. I mean, I don't think that's doing our nation any service. And all that they're doing, these politicians, are really servicing themselves. So.
Well, here's Joe Biden's address. I believe this was last night. I couldn't find I guess he gave a newer statement, but here's the one from last night.
Thoroughly briefed by all the agencies in the federal government as to the situation.
Boy, you can really tell a difference.
Just in a year, not even 2 years later. Yep.
Yeah.
Based on what we know now, I have tried to get a hold of Donald. He's with his doctors. Apparently he's doing well. I plan on talking to them shortly, I hope, when I get back to the telephone. Look, there's no place in America for this kind of violence. It's sick. It's sick. It's one of the reasons why we have to unite this country. We cannot allow for this to be happening. We cannot be like this. We cannot condone this. And I want to thank the Secret Service and all the agencies, including the state agencies, that have been engaged in making sure that the people who, and we have more detail to come relative to other people maybe injured in the audience. I don't have all that detail. We'll make that available to you. I may be able to come back a little later tonight, but we'll put out a statement if it's not convenient for you all. But the bottom line is that the Trump rally was a rally that he should have been able to be conducted peacefully without any problem. But the idea that there's political violence or violence in America like this is just unheard of. It's just not appropriate. And everybody must condemn it. Everybody. I'll keep you informed. And if I am able to speak to Donald, I'll let you know that as well. But so far, it appears he's doing well, number one. Number two, that they're thoroughly investigating what happened to anyone else in the audience. We have some reports, but not final reports. And every agency in the federal government, I'm going back to my phone to speak with the federal agencies that are being put together again to give me an updated briefing. Has anything happened? They learned any more in the last couple hours. So thank you very much. And I hope I get to speak to them tonight. And I'll get back to you if I do. Okay. I don't know enough to. I have an opinion, but I don't have any facts. So I want to make sure we have all the facts before I make any more comments. Thank you.
He was shot in the head.
What else? I mean, my Lord. I did find this too, Anna. This is what media had to say about it. CNN said Trump injured in an incident at a Pennsylvania rally. Secret Service rushes Trump off the stage after he falls at the rally.
Were those real articles?
Yes. Yes, they were real. MSNBC says Donald Trump's safe after popping sounds heard at a rally. Okay, just some sounds. No big deal.
Those articles still exist, or do you think they were removed?
I could Google them. I'll try that. I just wanted to do a few more here. Los Angeles Times, Trump whisked off the stage in Pennsylvania after loud noises. Okay. Rang through the crowd. Trump removed, this is USA Today, Trump removed from stage by Secret Service after loud noises startles the former president and the crowd. That was a little scary. New York Times, suspect killed and one dead in shooting at Trump rally. In shooting. Factual, not really true for right. Former president is safe after being rushed from the stage, much to their chagrin, I'm sure. And I mean, it just goes on and on and on. So, yeah, that's where we're at right now. I don't really know. I don't think we've broken any ground here. What do you see? What's next?
Well, the RNC starts tomorrow, so he's going to look like a bad motherfucker coming out with his head all bandaged up. It's going to be awesome. I think a lot more people are going to be tuned in. I really feel like not on the level of 9/11 type patriotism, but I think that this is a changing of the tide. I think people go, okay, this is now we've reached a fever pitch where this is now becoming ridiculous. And a lot of people, like you said, your friend, who were probably like, you know, apolitical or apathetic and don't want, really want to get involved, to feel emboldened and like they need to go to the ballot box and vote this man in because he's the only thing protecting this country. I know I certainly feel a weird wave of patriotism in a way that I didn't feel before. The forces, whether they're direct from government, the deep state, whatever you want to call them, or it's just someone who went rogue. Either way, I think that a lot of people feel a lot of pride in the fact that Donald Trump is their guy, and just his response to being shot, coming, getting back up on his feet. That was such a powerful image or footage to see as an American, be like, this motherfucker just got shot. Now, granted, he wasn't like shot in the chest. I get that. I'm not trying to take anything away from it. But just the fear of like, there's blood on my face, there's blood on my hand. People just jumped on top of me. You stand up, you're worried about your shoes, but you say fight, fight, fight. And then that image of the American flag flying over your head as the Secret Service is ushering you out it's intense, and images and photographs mean things to people. And I think that this has emboldened the American public. Not everyone, obviously. Like you said, some people were mad that he missed. I saw a lot of videos of the crazy libs of TikTok or whatever, compilation of videos where it was just absolutely disgusting. But I think by and large, most Americans are like, this is ridiculous. Especially when you have people like Elon Musk, and there was a UFC fight that he was supposed to attend last night.
Yeah,
and
he was still going to go. And then
I thought he was too, but he didn't end up going, unfortunately. But a lot of the fighters that won were saying, like, I heard my boy Donnie got hit. And, you know, the crowd erupts. Like, yeah, this other guy who just won was like, if you need me to go to D.C. and whoop anyone's ass, like, you let me know, Trump, you know.
Well, that's maybe what Trump needs to do is hire some of these UFC fighters.
Well, unfortunately, it doesn't really matter how strong your triangle choke is when the guy's got an AR, okay? you're pretty defenseless with the gun.
That's what was, you know, that was another thing I heard about. Of course, it's just weird how brains work and how there seems to be not necessarily a binary, but just like, oh, I guess Trump's going to be for gun control now since a gun almost, and it's just like, oh my God. And it seemed like it was one of those, it wasn't like an AR style. I don't know what was used, but it sounded like a lot of the fury of gunshots that you heard towards the end, I believe, were the people who took out the shooter. It seemed like it might have been like a 380, like hunting rifle type of scenario with something with a scope where you do like one round at a time for accuracy. I guess it's more of like a sniper type of move. You don't just start spraying, which might have been a better.
But didn't he get off like 8 rounds?
No, I think it was only like a couple before he got taken out.
Initially, they said like 9, but that may have been the combination because they happened so shortly that they said like 8. And maybe that's not untrue where 8 or 9 rounds were fired off. But like you said, it was the combination of the shooter and the counterfire as well.
Right. So that was an interesting thing. I did want to try to take some calls. I was just going to try to do it on my phone. We did get one that I miss. I'm sorry, but I'll play the voicemail now. I'm just going to do it old school type of way here, Anna. Hopefully you're able to hear it as well.
Anna and Will, thank you so much for the extra content. This is absolutely fantastic. I just muted it so I could make my presence known, and I need to know that you know, and we all know, that nothing can be taken at face value whatsoever. So I look to the other side of the story. I don't trust either side or any side. You can't trust anyone, and that's it. So God bless. Have a great weekend. And thank you so much for the extra content. Made my day.
Thank you. I believe that was Joe. So thank you, Joe, for the message. Sorry I missed your call. It would have been nice to take some stuff live here. But to conclude, it's going to be, what's the right verbiage to use here? Interesting, fun, scary, maybe all of the above. This is we're in a territory that we haven't seen in many, many, many decades in this country. Who was the last president to be shot? JFK, right?
No.
Ronald Reagan. And then JFK.
43 years ago, March of 1981.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've seen that clip. And this, I was watching this a couple days ago, which is funny, but there was like a balloon that popped after the attempted assassination.
Yes.
He just like missed me and then just continues talking.
Yeah, that was.
Whoa.
That was
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're kind of in a weird uncharted territories where it's like a president versus a former president. And I know people say this all the time, but the stakes couldn't be higher. It's kind of true. Everyone else has been acting up. Hamas, Iran, Russia, China. So it should be really interesting to see what happens. But then you got to think, I was thinking about this yesterday. It's like, all right, say Trump wins, he gets back in office, which is likely to happen. Like, what about after that? Like, when are we going to see someone with this kind of leadership, you know, and this kind of swag? I don't know if I sent you the video of one of his, I don't know if it was a cabinet member, but someone who was present when he was president, talking to Taliban leadership about the withdrawal. Did I send that to you?
It's only
a minute long, but he basically, I'll send it to you. It's just, it almost gave me chills. It's like, that's the guy who I want in charge. Trump or not, that's what someone with that kind of swag who is not afraid to use the power of the most powerful country and military on the planet for good, in my estimation. You know, he's not afraid. He's not saying, listen, I don't want to bully you. He's like, listen, this guy is detailing this meeting that Trump had with Taliban leadership where there was only one interpreter. And he goes, Trump says, listen, I want to get out of Afghanistan, but it's going to be condition-based withdrawal. And if you don't abide by these conditions, you know, shit's going to go down. And he said, if you hurt one hair on the head of any of my Americans, he goes, I'm going to kill you. And he said, the interpreter just goes like this. And he goes, tell him what I said. And then he reaches into his pocket and shows him a satellite photo of his house and walks out of the room as if to say, if anything happens, we know where you live. We will obliterate you. And then just walks out like as if there's, I'm not negotiating with you. This is what we're doing sort of a thing. And to go from that to this weak old man who doesn't know where he is and introduced Putin last week to the stand and called Kamala president, Vice President Trump. I mean, it's an embarrassment to our country. And I'm excited. I'm so amped and hopeful that Trump will make it back to the presidency where he belongs. So,
Well, I would just like to say to the shooter that I'm certainly glad that it didn't work out, and may God have mercy on your soul, sir. That's really all I can say. No, that's Alec Baldwin there. That's not the shooter. Anyway, God bless everybody. It's going to be a wild times ahead. Fun, scary, maybe all of the above. God bless us, everyone, as Tiny Tim once said. And we'll see you on Wednesday back here. WillsYouTube.com, HMBRadio.com, Radio St. Pete. That one will be Wednesday, 6 p.m. live stream. Half an hour up front for our Radio St. Pete and audio only listeners. And, you know, you can get the Substack as well to get the full uncensored audio only content, plus assorted other things. What happens with that? We're kind of still trying to figure it out, but it's free right now to sign up. So hmbradio.substack.com, and have a great rest of your Sunday. Thank you, Anna.
Bye.